Amen. Giving all praises to God, to our officers and members of Ebenezer. We are indeed grateful. Amen. Lord allowed us to come together on this Super Bowl Sunday. Now, we're not promoting any of the two teams that are playing, but we're promoting Team Jesus today. Amen. We're rooting for him. We're on his team. So we're thankful and grateful that you're able to join with us on this Sunday morning. On last night, we was able to share in our annual gala, our first annual gala. Deacon Davis is keeping his Deacon Davis got his head down when I say that. But we enjoyed the gala on last night. We had a beautiful, exquisite time, not only with music, but also with dance. And we was able to listen to a wonderful speaker and have a wonderful meal. Amen. And our sesquicentennial activities is not complete. We still got a week of activities as we celebrate that the Lord has brought us 150 years. And you can't celebrate 150 years in one day. It takes a little time. And so we're grateful for the sesquicentennial committee who have been committed to that task throughout the year. But now it's coming down to the fourth quarter. Amen. And so we do want to support those activities. And so on today, we would like to call your attention to Daniel chapter 3. We're talking about team. And Daniel chapter 3 is perhaps the most familiar team story in Scripture. The team is made up of three individuals. Daniel chapter 3. It's a long story. I'm going to just break into the story at verse 16. I think this is the top of the mountain. There's a lot, top of the iceberg, but there's a lot under the surface. Daniel 3, verse 16, by the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image with you, which you have set up. We read into your hearing Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We would like to tag this text simply, able to deliver. This month for a series of sermons, we've been talking about God is able. What a strong testimony to have in your heart that whatever you're going through, you know that God is able. On last week, we looked at Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, where Paul tells them that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That no matter what we ask of God, that God has a universe of solutions to our problems that are beyond, immeasurably beyond anything that we can ask or think. But today we want to look at this passage on this Sunday, this last Sunday before we celebrate the 150th anniversary of Ebenezer. And I wanted to look at it again to remind us that we are in it together. We are on this old ship of Zion together. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we're together. We are a team. And so today, as many of us will watch the game, some will not watch it. Football is not your bag. But you know that this Sunday we're in the NFL is Super Bowl Sunday. You don't have to be into sports. You can just go grocery shopping. They'll have a whole aisle set aside to celebrate Super Bowl Sunday. And that's to remind us that football, in this game of football, it is a celebration of team. Football is one of the few sports that is the ultimate team sport. Football, many players don't play both sides of the team. Most play one singular position. You only can play offense, or you can only play on the defense. But on other sports, that's not the case. In basketball, you gotta play both sides. In volleyball, you gotta play both sides. In baseball, you gotta play both sides. But in football, you only got one job. And then you gotta trust your teammate. In fact, football is oneness in action. When played well, it is unity on display. Players come from different races, different backgrounds, different experiences. And all of those backgrounds, all of that comes together to form a team. Brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you this morning that God also has a team. It's a team made up of men, women, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, brown, and variety of other people and other culture. And he has brought us together in Christ. We are a team surrounding our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. That's why this morning we just want to stand under one banner, belonging to a people who follow Christ. That's right. We are Team Jesus. And teamwork makes the dream work. Team, together, everyone achieves more. So this morning, I simply want to use that acronym, the acronym of TEAM. First, in the acronym of TEAM, there's T. T. T stands for together. There's a little story by Lucy in Peanut cartoons. This is a little old cartoon strip. But Lucy was a bit of a bully. Her baby brother, Linus, was a professed pacifist. And so Lucy one day took the remote control from Linus. And Linus stood up and said, "What gives you the right to take the remote control from me?" And Lucy said, "Well, I had a meeting with these five little fingers." He said, "Independently, they're weak. Independently, they're frail. Independently, they can't do anything. But when they come together, they form a weapon of mass destruction, a weapon that only I can control." And Linus said, "Go on and take the remote. Go on and take the remote." And then he looked down at his hand and said, "Why can't we come together?" Yes, when we come together, we are a powerful force, a force that no one can stop. In the story of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their names are mentioned together. in verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 16, and verse 19. Not once are any one of them mentioned alone. They're always mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were together before the crisis. They were together in the crisis. And they were together after the crisis. They were together. Now if you got three people in any group in together, you're going to have one that's going to be an optimist. You're going to have one that's going to be a pessimist. And then you're going to have one that's going to be a realist. Now, I don't know which one is which based on these three. But I do know one of them thought that everything going to work out. And the other one thought ain't none of this going to work out. And one of them had to come up with a real plan. What we going to do when this doesn't happen? And brothers and sisters, we got to be together. The scripture teaches us that we have to walk this highway together. You can't get to heaven all by yourself. The reason why is Jesus commands us too many times to one another. He commands us to love one another. He commands us to forgive one another. He commands us to encourage one another. He encourages us over and over again to support one another. Do good to one another, especially to those of the household of faith. We have to be in it together. That's why the world is always trying to push hero worship. Oh yeah. There's some people that don't like the team because who the starting quarterback is. There's some people that don't like the team because who the coach is. But even the starting quarterback can't do it all by himself. The coach can't do it all by himself. And the church, individually, we can't do it all by ourselves. But together, everyone achieves more. So T is for together. E is for expectations. You gotta have some real expectations. You gotta have real expectations of your teammates. And the way you develop expectations of your teammates is through practice. Yes, I said it. Practice. You gotta practice together. When you practice together, you pick up the tendencies of your teammates. You pick out where they're weak. You pick out where they're strong. You pick out where they're smart, and you pick out where they're not so smart. You learn about your teammates. But not only do you learn about your teammates in practice, you also learn about your opponent in practice. They have this thing called the scouting report. They'll go and scout the opponent. But just having the knowledge about your opponent is not good enough. You got to bring the scouting report to the practice. And in the practice, the offense practice what they think they're going to do, but then they also practice what they think the opponent is going to do. This is what I like about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One of them realized that if we stand up, King Nebuchadnezzar might not like it. If we stand up, King Nebuchadnezzar just might threaten us. If we stand up, King Nebuchadnezzar might even punish us. They expected that. They expected him to react. And brothers and sisters, in times like these, when I look at the scouting report, I got to expect that the haters are going to hate. I got to expect that liars are going to lie. I expect that thieves are going to thieve. I expect that sinners are going to sin. Yes, when I look at the scouting report, it tells me not only what I ought to do, but it also tells me what my opponent has been up to. You have expectations of your teammate, and you have expectations of your opponent. But there's a third group that's on the field. This group ain't associated with the offense or the defense. This group was not associated with the home team versus the visitors. It's a whole different set of individuals. They wear different uniforms, not match what everybody else is wearing. And they have different communication systems, different signs among them. Not only is there your teammates you have to worry about, not only is it the opponent that you have to worry about, but you also have to worry about the referees. See, there are somebody that gonna hold you accountable. There's somebody to say, yeah, they might have been holding, but you don't hold. Yeah, they might be lying, but you don't lie. They might be gossiping, but you are not allowed. Yeah, we're governed by some referees. Referees will throw a flag on you, call you for holding and bag you up. You've been praying and praying and praying on that job, and one day you let your tongue slip. My God. And you got a flag, got backed up. You got to expect expectations from our teammates, from one another in practice. We also get to a scouting report from the Word of God about our opponents and how they will react and behave. But we also know that there is a referee team. But since this is 2025, I got to tell you there's a fourth team. And the fourth team is the eye in the sky. They got an all-seeing camera. They got camera everywhere. See, they got cameras at the see things that the coaches can't see. They got cameras where the players can't see. Even the referees can't see. They got cameras where they will slow down the action. And you can see it in slow motion. This guy didn't have the ball when he hit the ground and lost control. But you have to be aware that there is somebody watching you. That there is an eye in the sky. We got a God that watches over you. You know, I know there's some people that worry about surveillance. And I don't think I live bad enough that anybody will care. You know, it just doesn't register on my register. But primarily because I already feel that God is watching everything I do anyway. My God is watching when I wake up in the morning. My God is watching when I go to sleep at night. My God is watching when I eat breakfast, when I eat lunch, when I eat dinner. He watches over my shoulder when I'm texting. He watching when I'm emailing. He watching when I buy. He watching where I go. He sees everything. And you got to expect that God is going to do something. If you know anything about God, he might not do what you want him to do. He may not come when you want him to come. But God will do something. So we got team is together. Expectations of our teammates and our opponents. Expectations of the referees and the media. But A stands for God's abilities versus God's activities. See, this is where the rub is, ain't it? The rub is when you know what God can do versus what God is doing. The real rub is not God's abilities. The real rub is God's activities. The real rub is I know what God can do. My only question is, why isn't he doing it? I have a good friend. When he read this passage, he raised the question, what do you do when an able God doesn't? What do you do when you know that God has the ability to do it, but God is just not doing it? That's why I like our teammates, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These teammates can help us wrestle with the question of what to do when an able God doesn't. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody know that God is able. You don't even have to be in church this morning to know that God is able. There are some people that drank last night and is sleeping in this morning, but they did that believing that God is able to wake them up. Everybody believe that God is able. But what the Hebrew boys teaches us is that even though God is able, God don't operate on our time schedule. My grandpa, he put it like this. My grandpa said, you can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You got to give him time. God does not move when we think God ought to move. Quite simply, many of us think that we're in the emergency room when in fact God got us in the waiting room. We think God ought to be operating on our situation and God is still in consolation. We think God ought to be done fixed it, done solved it, done worked it out. And God is still on the throne. The problem is that God's abilities versus God's activities. When God can do it, why don't he do it? The Hebrew boys help us. They help us in this regard. Listen what they say to King Nebuchadnezzar. We don't have to answer you in this matter. We don't have to have no meeting. We don't have to gather our hands together. We don't have to call for no huddle. We don't need to go in the back. We don't need to go into no meeting. We don't need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, whom we serve, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. Y'all saw that, right? The Hebrew boys believed that he was able to deliver them from the fiery furnace and from the hand of old King. And many of us in this room right now, we were going to take a vote. We will vote that the Lord deliver them from the fiery furnace and from the hand of the King. But the reality is he didn't deliver them from them. He delivered them in it. And the only way he could deliver them in it is that they had to hold on just a little while longer. God could have delivered them in the meeting, but he waited till he got into the presence of the King. He could have delivered them in the palace, but he waited until they got into the fiery furnace. And then he didn't deliver them from it. He delivered them in it. Now, that may not move you because you're sitting there thinking, I prefer A, him deliver me from. But I remember a story I heard. It was a hospital chaplain, and he was ministering with a sister, and the sister had been going through a bout of cancer treatment. And she was winning, and it went into recession, and she was doing good and active, but then it came back more aggressive. And she came and she talked to the chaplain at the hospital, and she said, I don't want to go through another round. The chaplain didn't have a clue, didn't know what to say, what word of encouragement. But he said, we have a guest speaker in the chapel today. Let's go hear what the Lord has to say about it. Let's go listen to the Lord. So they go into the chapel service, and the chaplain that Sunday, or whoever was speaking in the chapel that day, was speaking on the Hebrew boys. And he was talking about how the Lord saved them in their fiery trial. This young lady was sitting there with the chaplain and listening to the preach word about how God got in it with them and how God walked in it with them and God walked them out. And after the meeting, she went back up to the chaplain and she said, "Chaplain, did you hear what the Lord said?" And he said, what did you hear? "The Lord promised that he'll be with me in my situation." But brothers and sisters, we got to learn sometime God will be on the field with you. God will be in the room with you. God will be in the bed with you. God will be in the sickness with you. God will be in the trial with you. God will be in the grief with you. God will be in the trauma with you. God will be in the disappointment with you. God will be in the setback with you. Whatever you're going through, we have a God that'll get in there with us. T is for together. E is for expectations. And A is for God's abilities versus God's activities. But the last is M. And M is for a made up mind. I like verse 18. Now I don't know the three guys, and when I get to heaven, I'm not going to treat them like triplets. I'm going to try to figure out each one of them. But I think it was Abednego that said this last one. The only reason I think that Abednego said verse 18 is because he's always mentioned third. I think this is real thin evidence. Don't be publishing this anywhere. I'm just looking at the scripture, and Shadrach is mentioned first, so he probably was the biggest spokesperson. Meshach was probably Shadrach's boy, so that's why he's second, and Abednego came along for the ride, that's why he's third. I just made that up. But I think Abednego is that one that'll say verse 18. Verse 18 says, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." See, regardless of what God is going to do, O king, we want you to know what, now this ain't going to be proper English, but since it's Super Bowl Sunday, I feel like I can say it. What we ain't going to do. What we ain't gonna do is serve your God. We've already made up our minds what we ain't gonna do. See, there ought to be some things, I don't care if it's legal or not, I ain't gonna do it. I don't care what executive order has been passed, there's some things I'm just ain't going to do. I done made up my mind what I ain't gonna do. And at some point, when you believe in God and trusting in God that he is able to deliver, there ought to be a line in the sand. What I ain't gonna do. "But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God." We have made up our minds that we're gonna stick it out with the Lord. You got to have a made-up mind. You may not have all the facts. You know, people are always trying to introduce me to new facts about Scripture or something, you know. Like they're going to change my mind at this point. It's real weird about it. Like they find something on TikTok and then come running up and showing me about it. You know, I'm like, okay, that's new. But there's some things I done made up my mind. And I ain't gonna turn around. There is no going back. I'm not in the selecting of a religion no more. I'm not looking for a savior no more. I'm not looking for a messiah anymore. I have found my messiah in Jesus. And I decided I'm gonna just stay on this thing. Come what will and come what may, I have made up my mind. What we ain't gonna do is serve your God. You can threaten us, you can fire us, you can do whatever you want to do to us. But what we ain't going to do is serve your God. will we worship the golden image? They were together. They came together. They had real expectations that they were going to stick together, but the opponent wasn't going to like it. The opponent was going to come at them. But there's also a moral referee at play. There's also an eye in the sky. God is watching. And then we got to wrestle with what to do when an able God doesn't. What to do when God doesn't come when he want him to. What do we do when God doesn't do what he want him to do? And finally, we have to have a made up mind. We have to decide once and for all whom we will serve. We're going to have to decide, no long limping between two opinions. We have to decide once and for all whom we will serve. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the story don't end in verse 18. No, in fact, the scripture teaches us that King Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He became so angry that he decided to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. He was so mad, he told them to heat the fiery furnace up 7 times. He was so mad that he wanted them to be destroyed. And you can imagine the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they are walking toward the fiery furnace. They praying, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver us from this fiery furnace. Lord, I can't take it no closer. You can feel the heat. It was so hot that the ones that set the fire got burnt up. But yet, they're being led every step, getting closer and closer to that fire. So one minute they open up the door and throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. I can imagine the enemy is rejoicing. The enemy think he won. The enemy think he has a touchdown. But King Nebuchadnezzar said, when I looked in the, didn't we put in 3? But I see a mysterious teammate in the, I see a mysterious fourth player. I see somebody I didn't see before. And brothers and sisters, we got a Savior that not only can save us from our sins, he can save us in our sins. We got a deliverer that not only can he deliver us from our hurt, harm, and danger, but he can deliver us in. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came walking out of that fire. And you know, it just remind me of a song, Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll got a song called Liar. And in that song, he says, you ain't nothing but a liar. Yeah, I walk right out the fire. Yeah, you try to keep me down, try to put me underground, but I'm only going higher. Brothers and sisters, I can imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they come out of that fiery furnace and they got to stand before King Nebuchadnezzar and remind King Nebuchadnezzar that he said that there's no God that is able to deliver them from the fiery furnace, nor be able to deliver them from his hand. I can see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, oh, King, you ain't nothing but a liar. Yeah, we walk right out that fire. Yeah, you try to keep me down, try to put me underground. And brothers and sisters, the enemy, our opponent, God is out to get us. He is lying on us. He is lying that we can't get our stuff together. He is lying that we got too many selfish interests. He is lying that we can't pull our resources. But I come by today to tell you, in the name of Jesus, in the banner of Christ, in the end, we too will come walking right out of that fire. Why? Because the God we serve is able to deliver. May God bless you and may God keep you today.